Lord, we've all had, I'm sure, busy days, things going on, challenges and trials. Lord, maybe good things and just distractions. Father, my prayer to you tonight is that you would quiet our hearts, that you would bring us before your throne. And Lord, may we hear from you. I pray, Father, that I would say only what you would have me to say tonight, and that would honor and it would glorify you, Lord, in all things. Pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Mark chapter 6 and verse 30. My apology first is that I was going to preach on, when Pastor asked me to preach, he said, Pastor said to me, do you want to preach the next psalm in our series, or do you want to preach something else? And I said, I mean, I'll just preach the next psalm, I guess, in the series. And he was like, well, Psalm 115 is a really good one, so, you know, I just got to be, you know, like, careful. So, do you not want me to preach Psalm 115? Well, I really like Psalm 115. Okay, fine, go ahead and preach, you know. So, anyways, so I was going to preach on the idea of praying through the Psalms and actually more of a lesson on how to pray the Psalms, how to make the Psalms prayers. But the Lord has led me away from that to a message, to a lesson which I taught on Monday night, which a lot of you were at on Monday night. And at first I was thinking maybe I shouldn't do it again because there's a lot of you here. But I think there's a lot more to this lesson. And so I'd ask you to please listen again and try and glean more from it. And I will try and give you more out of this, okay? Mark chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse 30. And I hope that it's a blessing. Mark 6, verse 30, it says, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught." This is all the disciples coming back, the apostles really coming back from their missionary journeys where they went out. And remember, the Lord said, if the city doesn't receive you, shake off their sandals, go to the next one. Okay, so they're all coming back to Jesus. This is a what I would consider like a very joyous time. They are coming back. And can you, in this verse, sort of hear them saying like, oh, Jesus, this, and then this happened, and I was teaching them this, and this miracle happened, right? They're around Jesus, and they're telling him all the things that they had seen and done. What happens is, there's a crowd of people that these apostles had ultimately gathered through their teaching, and they are following them, okay? So they bring all of them from all these different portions of the country all to Jesus. Verse 31, "And he said unto them, come ye there, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while." Right? They've been working. It says, "For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." Right? So it's busy. These guys were busy, busy. They were here and there and here and there. And Jesus is saying, come apart, let's rest for a minute. And he departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and out went them, and came together unto Jesus. So he tries to go apart into the desert. All the people hear about it. They hear where he's going. More people gather, and they all go into the desert to see Jesus, when he was trying to go to the desert to get away from people, right? "And Jesus, when he came out of the boat, saw much people, and was moved with compassion towards them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass, and they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the fish, 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all, and they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. 5,000 men. So here, Christ fed, and some commentators think that maybe it was as many as 15,000 people. This was a huge crowd. Disciples come back from their journey. He's there with them, and he says, you know, let's feed these people. And they have to be sort of confronted with, well, how do we plan to do that, right? Now remember, the apostles just came back from doing miracles, right, in his name. And they come to Christ and say, well, how are we going to do this? Well, how many loaves do you have, right? We know the story. He gives them the loaves. Now we're going to sort of skim, and at the end of this, I'm going to give you the application, okay? But you got to sort of just read a little bit with me. Verse 45, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent the people away. So Jesus stays on shore, sends his disciples away. We know the story now. I'm going to just sort of summarize and get down a little bit further. He sends the crowds away. A storm comes upon the disciples as they're in the boat, right? Verse 48. And Jesus is starting to come out to them. And when, verse 47, and when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he was alone on the land. He saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary. And about the 4th watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Verse 52, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves. Look at this, for their heart was hardened. Okay, so the picture here is that the disciples are in the boat rowing. The wind was going against them. They couldn't make any ground. And Jesus comes out to them on the water, talks to them, walks, you know, comes up and gets into the boat with them, helps them. It says that they are sore amazed. They're just wondering at this. They're just, you know, awestruck that this could have occurred. And why were they that way? It says because they didn't consider, right, the miracle of the loaves. And then it says that their hearts were hardened. For their heart was hardened. It's interesting. Interesting thought. Verse 7, or chapter 7, is all miracles. Okay? It's the story of Jesus traveling and people coming from all over the country trying to reach out and touch even the hem of his garment. If they could even just touch him, and there are hundreds, perhaps thousands of people, right? He heals a blind man, heals a dumb man, heals a lot of people in chapter 7. It's all miracles. So the disciples see, they perform miracles. They see Jesus perform feeding of the 5,000. They see Jesus walk on the water, okay? Then they go with him, and as he's traveling along here, he's miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. Look at chapter 8, verse 1. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, sound familiar? Jesus calls his disciples unto him and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. There's some commentators who believe this is actually the same crowd of people. Like they followed back to him. This could have been within 3 days. It's possible. I don't know. And if I send them away fainting to their own houses or fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far away. And his disciples answered him again, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, how many loaves have ye? It's the same story. Isn't it amazing? It's the same story. And they said, seven. And he commanded the people to sit on the ground. And he took the seven loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left seven baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. So here you have now the feeding of the 4,000. Very similar scenario, isn't it? It's almost like Jesus intentionally was saying the same things. He says the same thing to them. He operates in the same exact way. And the disciples respond in a new and learned way? No, they respond in the same exact way too, right? Okay, let's keep reading. We're getting there. We're going to get to the point here. Verse 10. Straightway he entered a ship with his disciples and came unto the parts of Dalmanutha. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. Verse 12, look at this. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and saith, why does this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. And he left them, and entering into the ship again, departed to the other side. Now, isn't it striking that the Pharisees are hearing about miracle? They're hearing about miracle, miracle, miracle. They're hearing about him feeding 4,000, 5,000. They're hearing this. There's an enormous tumult in the land, and they're the religious leaders. They are hearing the stories of Jesus. And yet they go to him and say, no, no, give us a sign. Right? A sign being, do something miraculous to prove to us that you're the Messiah. It's amazing. So Christ obviously sighs deeply within himself. I love the portions of Scripture that give you insight into his emotions, don't you? Like understanding the humanity side of him responding to these things. It's fascinating. He sighs. You can feel it when you read this. Verse 14. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. So the disciples now get into a boat, and they're hungry. They haven't eaten. None of them have eaten. They've been busy working. They get in the boat and they realize that they only have one loaf. And he charged them saying, so they have one loaf. In verse 15, and he charged them saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. So he references what the Pharisees had just asked him for. The Pharisees said, we need a sign. And previously in Mark chapter 6, which we did not cover, Herod kills John the Baptist. Okay? Both of those were acts of unbelief. Unbelief. And so when we get to this portion here where Jesus says, beware of the leaven, he's saying to his disciples, Herod acted in unbelief. The Pharisees are acting in unbelief. You need to beware that you do not act in unbelief. Okay? Now here's how this continues. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It is because we have no bread." And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Verse 18, having eyes, see ye not? Having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember? When I break the five loaves among the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they say unto him, 12. And when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? Wow. Right? What a condemnation. Christ condemns in his speech, condemns and corrects the disciples. What is it that you don't understand? Right? He even recounts, you saw me feed 5,000. You saw me feed 4,000. You saw me do all these miracles, one after another, and we get in this boat, and here you are with one loaf of bread, right? And you're back to the same place of worrying about how are we going to eat. And Christ says, what is it that you do not understand about this scenario? I think it's an amazing thing that Mark takes us from, like, through these incidents where bread is needed in all of those scenarios, right? And what I think is interesting is the final one, it's the disciples that are hungry. Right? In the first two, the crowd was hungry. Now the disciples are hungry. You know, how are you going to feed those men? How would we feed these people in this wilderness? How would that happen? Now it's, well, how are you going to feed us? Okay? And Christ comes and he condemns them. There's a couple of lessons that I want to apply, or a couple applications I want to make from this reading, of this setting that we have. The first one, and very obvious and too hard to overlook, is the idea that God multiplies the offerings that we bring before him. Okay, in each of those scenarios, he took 5 loaves and fed 4,000. He took 7 loaves and fed 5,000. I think there's a very strong application for us that so many times we think our offering to the Lord is not adequate. It's not good enough for the Lord. And yet he takes a little loaf of bread and multiplies it, magnifies it, right? Does amazing things with the bread. There are potentially 3 areas that I think this applies. One is in our life. Our life. A life offered to the Lord, though we may think it's inadequate, though we may think we're failing, though we may think we're having trouble all the time, a life surrendered and given and offered to the Lord is multiplied, right? Is amplified, is used for his glory over and over and over and over and over again. Right? That is an amazing thought. It's an amazing, amazing thing. Another example there is our prayers. You know, a lot of us, I think, would say, I'm probably not very good at praying, or I don't really know if I pray the right way all the time. I'm not totally sure what I'm doing when I'm praying. Right? And here we have a promise where God is taking these loaves and multiplying them to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. He takes our prayers and he does that exact same thing. Right? Prayer offered to him. Or maybe it's just in our service to the Lord. In the things that we do, we may think, oh man, I am really failing at this Sunday school class that I'm teaching. Kids don't sit still. They don't pay attention. Especially kids like Turner, right? They don't listen. They color the whole time. And you might think, oh, I'm failing at this. And then one of them gets saved. Right? You go, oh, right. You might think, oh, I'm passing out tracts all the time, but nothing ever happens. Nothing ever good comes of it. Right? Service we do for the Lord. He takes and he multiplies it. And he uses it for his glory. So the first thing is be encouraged. Don't stop. And keep going. And then the last application I want to make out of this passage is that the disciples in chapter 8, it says that he asked them, what is it that you don't understand? And what happened was they were operating under a principle, right, of essentially always returning to zero. Every time a miracle happened, they would be buoyed in their faith, and they would just go, this is amazing. I can't believe that this is happening. This is unbelievable to see this. It says, like, they were amazed and wondered. I mean, they were just like, I cannot even, this is crazy. And literally the next day, they'd be like, oh, no, how are we going to do this? Right? They were always operating from a baseline of zero, always. Zero faith, all the time. And this illustration, sort of these stories here, talk about how they never took an incident, right, and grew from it. And then they grew from it. And they grew from it. right? Like they never took a thing that God did for them, that Jesus did for them, and said, you know, this could happen more. If that's what God did for me today, then he could do that for me tomorrow. And I mean, I think we all sort of operate that way, don't we? Human nature kind of is that way. We look in our lives and we say, you know, God's provided for me, you know, this time, and you know, we've had these challenges, and I can look and say, God did something there for me that's undeniably like his hand. And then when the minute the next thing arises, it's like, oh no, what are we gonna do? How are we gonna do this? What are we gonna do? Right? We all do that. Like, I mean, literally, all of us operate the same way. Okay? For 20 years, the Lord supplies my every financial need all along the way, up and down with trials. Oh, this month, how are we gonna do this? What's gonna happen here? What's gonna happen here? And yet still after 20 years, I go, oh no, I've got a bill, right? And I think what the Lord is saying is he's calling that out in the disciples. He's saying, you should not be continuing to stay at the same place. It's not acceptable. You need to use that and grow. Now, we have an advantage. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Disciples did not have that. So we have an advantage in this situation. But still, our flesh wants to take us back to zero. And we've got to grow from these. Or else, like he says, is you've hardened your heart. When a trial comes on in your path, when these guys were hungry, right? It was something that was maybe just even a temporal thing. They had some sort of a challenge. And they immediately start to fret. They immediately start to worry. Can you hear Jesus sighing within himself? Right? He looks at them and he says, oh, I walked on water to come see you. I've done all of these things and we're still at this place. I think this is true of a lot of us in our Christian life. We're stuck at zero. Constantly stuck, unable to just get over the next, right? And the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod affects all of us. Unbelief affects our hearts and affects our Christian walk and affects our prayer and affects, right? All of these areas of our life, we all come back to zero. And when that happens, Jesus looks at us and he says, what is it that you don't understand? Isn't that such a sad thing for Christ to have to say? What is it that you don't understand? Do you have eyes to see? Do you have ears to hear? How is it that we're back here? It's an amazing portion of scripture for us to take and to consider and to apply to our lives. So here's the path forward. Something that you need to do is you need to meditate on the ways that God has been good to you and has provided for you. And either write them down or, you know, make a mental note of them, whatever it is that works for you. But you really need to think about that and document it in a way that when a trial comes into your life, you don't immediately run to zero, right? But rather you can go back and say, okay, where's my piece of paper? All right, I'm going to read this now, right? God did this, and he did this, and he did this for me, and he did this for me. Right? God did this, right? And what it does is it buoys your faith. Right? Comforts your heart. And you can go through that list and then you can pray and say, Lord, I don't want to be at zero. Help me. Right? Help me to grow. Use the opportunities that God gives you to grow. You should be progressing and growing. I hope that that is a encouragement to you tonight. Let's close in prayer, and then we will do some prayer requests. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to open it tonight, to be able to look into it, glean from it. Father, I pray that you would help us in our faith. Pray that you would grow us in our faith, that you would, Lord, help us to look and to see all of your great goodness. And Lord, may we not just recount it as an act of the past, but as a marker of your very character. And Lord, if you have done it before, you will do it again. We thank you so much that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that we can always, always count on you. I pray, Lord, that you would grow our hearts, that you would increase our faith. Lord, may we walk closer to you because of it. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.